And a good afternoon. I'm Ian Grant. Welcome to Ask the Expert here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. Financial opinions over the course of this hour, recommendations expressed in the show, solely those of the commentator and not necessarily those of Cart Wealth Management, News Talk 1010, or Bell Media. You're advised to consult with your financial advisor for investment advice, and I am joined by financial advisor Kelvin Rampersad, Kelvin the Money Guy. Today, I believe, sir, we are talking about death and taxes, right?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ian. How are you keeping?
I am well. This is such an important topic that we're covering this hour because you and I got a chance to talk just before the show started, and it's just one of those areas where if people don't know exactly what they're doing, it's not an area where you want to think or run on a hunch or assume that your preparations are correct. You really, really do need to have a conversation with some type of financial advisor to make sure that you're on track. Because if not, well, you know, the death part's pretty easy. It's taken care of. It's the taxes that can just do terrible things after you're gone.
Mm-hmm. So this show, you know, we want to talk about how can we ensure that our inheritance goes to our kids and not the tax man.
Mm.
So I think with a little planning, retirees can reduce their lifetime tax payable and minimize the potential tax payable to their estate. Remember, estate tax, like I said, is just it's really an admin tax you're giving to the government. Mm. So for many retirees, you know, there's a point where both these certainties intersect, and concerns about having saved enough for retirement turns into protecting an estate, you know, from the tax man at other costs. What I find is many of us spend all of our time worrying about the stock markets going up and down, up and down. We sacrifice a lot of things and we do all this stuff, and no consideration is given to, I'm going to have to cut a check for $500,000 to the DRA when I die. So, you know, some of the main drains on an estate is income tax, probate tax, and estate tax, like estate settlement, I should say, right? When you retire, you want to have very little income. You want to have more dividends, mm-hmm. and things like that, so your taxable, you know, drops from like a 40% to a 20%. You can't get around paying taxes, but you can pay a little.
You know what we're going to cover off this hour is that individual taxes are one thing. We're going to be joined later in the show by John Anga from Anga's Farm and Nursery in Etobicoke. You know, he's in a unique position where it's just that much more important to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, lots of people have businesses. A lot of people have, you know, company shares, farm properties, and so on. So those are the things we really need to address, I would imagine. You know, mutual funds are taxed, you know, 100%. Mm. Rental properties, capital gains tax. So this show, you know, will focus on the first of those, income tax. The most common estate tax assets is RSPs, tax-free savings accounts, and non-registered assets. It's funny how, you know, if you have non-registered assets, what that means is it's not an RSP, not a savings account, a tax-free savings account. It should really go to an insurance company. You might pay a little bit higher fee, but you have to outweigh what would the probate tax be on that money. So for example, if I have $500,000 sitting in a GIC because I sold a house, when I die, what happens to that money? It's subject to probate. So what would the probate tax be? And probate is, you know, and we'll cover it later, is, you know, 1.5% of the money that you have. So it might not seem a lot, but it could add up.
How would the insurance, talk a little bit about how that alleviates the situation?
Yeah, so insurance, you know, is the only thing that's not taxable upon death. Hmm. So for example, many people that are older in their 60s, 70s should look to buy what they call a joint last-to-die insurance. The premiums are cheaper, and the insurance is only paid when the last spouse dies, and that's to cover the estate tax. So if my tax liability is $500,000, I should buy a $250,000 joint last-to-die insurance policy. And there's many companies, like, you know, people have to be in good health to get the insurance, but there's other companies out there that if your health is not as good, you might pay a little premium, but at least you'll get the insurance. But, you know, Ian, you really have to do the math and figure out if I'm going to pay $200,000 in my, you know, lifetime for my life insurance, like what am I saving? Are we saving $800 or $1 million? So that math has to be done.
And also, as you just pointed out, the insurance is on what you would be paying out to the government. It's not on the full amount of the money. It's the insurance is on the tax part, right?
Yeah. Well, capital gains is 50% of your marginal tax rate. So, for example, if you're in a 40% tax bracket, you'll pay you'll pay about 20% of capital gains tax on what you have.
We're going to be discussing a lot of stuff this hour, Kelvin, and I think it's really important to take a second and point out, as I try to do on most of these shows, that what we're doing here is it's not a cooking show. We're not coming up with a recipe where, you know, if you follow along directly with what we are talking about, you really do. There's so many different areas over the course of this hour where you need to work with a financial advisor. It really is. The entire death and taxes industry, it's just become so incredibly complex. And there are so many ways, successor annuitant being as good an example as anywhere, you know, the wrong words used can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I say, listen, if you want to retire happy, I think you need to take some steps to seeing how your money is managed now while you're living. And more importantly, when you die, how is the wealth transferred to the next generation? And like I said, I think the simplest form is through life insurance and explore that. Many people listening should go and explore that with their advisor because it could save you thousands and thousands of dollars, you know. So it's the little things that we do that saves us money. It's not the big things, not the big glorified things that we do. It's all the little things that we do. You know, like I say, my job is to bring you experiences of other people that experience these taxes and were bad and things like that. So how do you avoid that? So just do what other people did and they didn't have to pay all the taxes and move on. Don't reinvent the wheel. And there's nothing new out there. And don't go it alone.
Yeah.
These are the things that you really, you know, maybe when you're younger in your 30s and your 40s, sure, go it alone, because by the time you get 50, you realize you can't. If you're in your 60s and 70s, don't go it alone and don't listen to other people. Listen to the experts. Yeah. Know these things inside out, so there's no surprise.
It just becomes so lucrative for the government when people do not take that advice. It kills me. I've told this story so many times before. So many people I know, you know, $50,000, $100,000, $300,000, $750,000 ended up going to the government for nothing, for absolutely no reason other than planning wasn't done in advance. And a lot of that is because people hear the word death and shut down. They don't want to have a conversation with, you know, the family, with their financial advisor. You want to leave this to your next, you know, to the next generation or whatever it is, and find out that 3/4 of it is going to end up in Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't enough courses out there, you know, to teach people about this. It's too bad that they don't teach this about what's going on with when we die, when the last person dies, that's when all the taxes got to be paid on everything.
Tell you what, they got to take a break. And then when we come back, we have a very special guest there going to be joining us for the next part of the show. I'm really looking forward to this. As well, if you would like to reach Kelvin, you can. His phone number is 416-457-7526, 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. Or you can check out his website. All the information is there, askkelvin.ca, askkelvin.ca. We're talking about death and taxes this afternoon as Ask the Expert continues here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. And we are back. This is Ask the Expert here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. I'm Ian Grant, joined this hour by Kelvin the Money Guy. As always, you want to find out more, check out his website, askkelvin.ca, askkelvin.ca. Or the number 416-457-PLAN. Kelvin, just before the break, we mentioned that on this show we're doing today, our special on death and taxes, really interesting guest we have coming on with us because, I mean, for me as an individual, you know, the whole death and taxes discussion is one-dimensional, but when you bring a company into it, it really does start to get complicated, and there are just so many things to do. I want to bring in John Anga. He is the owner of Anga's Farm and Nursery in Etobicoke. John, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Ian.
If anything, Kelvin, this is where the rubber really hits the road and people really understanding what's happening, because as we talked about a little earlier, the last thing you want to do is spend your life building a business only to have the government come along. And sometimes the government comes in, and even although you want to pass something on to your family, it ends up costing you more in taxes. You can't keep it.
Well, you know, Benjamin Franklin once said that in this world, there's nothing can be said to be certain except for debt and taxes.
Mm.
So it's funny, when I met John in February, I think he was going away to Florida, and he had told me on the farm, and I didn't even know where it was, middle of Etobicoke. He can tell us about it in a bit. And one of the problems was going for him was going to be, how do I give all this money to my kids, or transfer my, if I don't sell my business, or if I do sell, how do I transfer my wealth that I've slaved over 50 years to get, and not to give the government as much as I could? And that's where our conversation started to go. And then he invited myself and Veronica to come down to the farm to buy some flowers and peppers and all that. And I met him. What a really nice guy, him and his wife. And I thought, geez, you know, you should come on the show and talk about you and all the things you've done. And what are some of the liabilities that's going to happen to you down the road? So, John, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. By the way, it was very nice for you to drop by, you and the wife. I hope you enjoyed this walking around in the farm. I mean, yeah. It's like you're in the twilight zone here. We're, believe it or not, this is Toronto's best kept secret, Angus Farm and Nursery. We have close to 5 acres here. When you're here, you don't even know you're in the city. And we're walking distance to just about anything.
Hey, John, I got to ask, did he pick up flowers for Mrs. Kelvin?
Don't answer that.
Okay, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, John, as Kelvin was saying, though, I mean, let's get serious for a second here, because you put an awful lot of work into this. The last thing that you want to see happen, obviously, is when you go to the next farm and the great beyond, that the government comes in and basically takes this out from under your survivors.
Exactly. Like, I want to know if there's a way to do it legally, obviously. But you know what? I've worked all my life and I've paid my dues. I've just paid my dues. Now, when I'm gone, I don't want my kids having to, I'm going to give them what I have, and then they're going to have to pay more dues. Like, there's got to be a way that you could give them this wealth without having them giving it to the government or part of it.
John, that's what we call the income tax time bomb. And it's ticking and you don't know when it's going to go off. Many Canadians like yourself own properties. They own lakefront, or they own a place in Florida or Arizona, California, wherever they may have a vacation place. And it's a ticking time bomb, because if that property is not your principal residence, there'll be an income tax to be paid on the capital gains when that day happens, you know, both spouses. Although there's no estate tax in Canada, the CRA always finds a way to get piece of it. And you know, in a nutshell, the best way to handle this, if you have public company shares or farm property, rental property, you know, mutual funds, this all could be handled by permanent life insurance. Life insurance is the only thing upon death that's not taxable. So for example, you look at all your capital gains tax, you do an estimate, a rough estimate, and let's say it's $2 million in capital gains tax, you buy a joint last to die insurance policy for $1 million, and you'll be fine. But many people don't do that because they don't know about insurance, they don't understand it, but it's the last thing that'll save you from the tax man.
But to buy insurance, you got to be paying premium monthly or yearly, right?
If I have to pay $1 million in capital gains tax and the insurance is going to cost me over my lifetime $250,000, is it worth it to spend $250,000 to save, you know, $800,000? So that's the math you'll have to do with your advisor, or give me a call and we can sit down and figure it out. So yeah, John, you're the perfect example of maybe typical people. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 75, still hanging in there. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to live. Nobody knows that. I got married when I was 18, so my kids are just about my age, you know? So, you know, I think about these things. I mean, you know, it's funny, but you think you're never going to get old. And then one day it hits you and you're thinking, holy crap. Remember when I was 30 and thinking that 75 was like over the hill. Like I'm 75 now and I'm thinking, holy crap, I'm over here already.
And you're very typical of people that are in their 70s and 80s who bought properties long, long time ago. And now it's worth a fortune. But the problem is you really have to sit down and figure out what's the estate liability and maybe find a way. And the simplest way is through a life insurance. That's the simplest way to do it.
What about transferring? Like I've got other properties too. What about transferring ownership of, say, some of my rental units to my kids?
Yeah, so
opposed to later.
The minute you do that, the government's going to deem that you sold it. And that's when the taxes that we have to pay. So as many things you can do, you could say, okay, I don't want to sell the property because I want to pass it on to my kids, to my grandkids. So what you could do is an estate freeze and pretend you sold it now and pay the tax now and then move on from there. So there's many things. It's really hard to explain this stuff on the radio because it's so complicated and everyone's different. So I would suggest people that are listening, speak with their advisor and see what they can figure out or give me a call and we can figure that out.
It's funny, like I started out at 18 years old, I bought my first home and I sold my Harley Davidson and put the money towards a down payment on a house. And, wow. And you know, I look at these numbers today when homes are worth millions of dollars and I paid $18,500 for my home, but I was only making $3,000 a year.
Right.
So if you take 3,000 and divide it into 18,500, it goes what? 5-6 times. Right.
Right.
So had I taken all that money and paid off my home, it would have been paid off in 6 years. Now, if you buy a house now, well, by the way, this was no luxury home. This was a little semi-detached home downtown. And so if you buy the same home now, it's probably worth about $600,000. So if you're making $50,000-$60,000 bucks a year,
right,
if you kind of figure it out, it's not too much different. So my advice is to anyone who's out there that's making that kind of money, go buy yourself anything, semi-detached. You're not going to, a lot of the kids now are buying brand new homes and they're going in debt.
Right.
You know, buy yourself something that you can afford. We rented, there was a 3-room home. Me, my wife, and we had a baby at the time,
right.
Had the basement in the apartment and I rented the upstairs to somebody else. And we did this for 5 years and voila, we've paid it off. And, you know, like, don't be scared to invest.
John, I got to interrupt because unfortunately one of the radio rules is we're up against the clock, but I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show. John Anga, he is the owner of Anga's Farm and Nursery. If you want to drop by, you should. 5 acres of the best kept secret in Toronto. 89 Bankfield Drive in Etobicoke. You want to find out more, 416-839-2111. You're listening to Ask the Expert. I'll be back with financial advisor Kelvin Rampersad. We're talking about death and taxes this afternoon as Ask the Expert continues here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. And we are back. This is Ask the Expert here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. I'm Ian Grant, joined this hour by financial advisor Kelvin Rampersad. We're talking about death and taxes this hour. And Kelvin, just before we get back into it, what a fantastic segment we just had with John Anga from Anga's Farm and Nursery. But you know what? I really enjoyed listening to John talking there because there was that friendly kind of folksy conversation taking place. And as you said before, that's the kind of relationship that you take pride in having with your clients as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him. I spoke to him, like I said, in February. He hears me on the show. And then I went to meet him. We got to talk. And what a nice man he is. And one of the funny things is we were walking through his the garden looking for flowers and pepper and whatnot. And then you hear a rooster crowing. And I'm thinking, what? he has chickens and stuff there. It's unbelievable. I speak to clients on that level, more of a personal than anything else. I mean, we get to the finances and everything else, which is the meat of everything, but I try and get a feel for you. One of the things I think, Ian, is people want to know what taxes are payable on death in Canada. So although, like I say, there's no death tax in Canada, there are two main types of tax that are collected when you died. First, there are taxes on income, or on capital gains during, you know, your last year. And secondly, is interest on the money that you made from your estate. So you really got to be mindful of all those things. You know what it is, Ian? We spent all of our 30, 40 years of working and saving our money and worrying about the stock market is going up and down and up and down. And many of us give very or no consideration to how is my estate going to be taxed? What happens when I die, or my spouse, when both of us die? And it's a big deal now, because what's happening is, you know, we're getting older. Like John was saying, like he's 75, we're getting older. So we really need to take some time and figure that out.
But the other important thing to consider is that, you know, John's life revolves around horticulture and farming and not financial advice and keeping track and stuff. And that is where, you know, your financial advisor comes in really handy, because 23 hours out of a day, he can worry about what he wants to worry about. And then you're there to take care of that 24th for him.
Right, exactly. So, and I mean, I'm beginning to notice with clients, there a lot of the clients are asking these questions about their parents, because their parents never did any planning. They looked after a business, they looked after, you know, making sure their kids are good and have a nice place to live and whatnot. And now look what's happened. So the government knows that, right? So I think we as people need to figure out how do we protect this. You know, another question people always ask me, or clients ask, is how much money can be legally given to a family member as a gift in Canada? So in Canada, there's no limit on how much you can gift someone. So in other words, there's no gifting tax. So whether you gift them $500 or $30,000 or $40,000, it's completely tax-free. So some of the common things that I'm finding is some older people are selling their houses and gifting the money to the kids now to help them pay off their mortgage or, you know, pay off any debt and so on. Mm-hmm. So a lot of shifting is going on from what we see from my point of view, as far as money and taxes go.
One of the other things that John mentioned, and I thought about it at the time, but I figured I'd bring it up later on, was he started to come up with alternates and options. Well, what if I did this? Well, maybe I should do that in the next thing. And I was thinking as he was saying it, just the importance of having, you know, one financial advisor dealing with the overall issues, because it's when you start pulling things apart and doing things piecemeal, a little here and a little there, that it really can start to cause issues, because you don't understand the ramifications that one change can have on everything else.
And that's why studies have shown when you're in your 30s and 40s, you have, you know, many advisors, yourself included. As you get a little bit older, you boil it down to two. And when you hit your 60s, you pretty much have one advisor, because what happens is that person has a look at your whole estate. You know, what's your tax liability? How much money do you have in your RSPs or your LIFs or your RIFs? And how much tax are you going to pay on that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And that's where your financial advisor really comes into play, and really is worth all the money that you think you pay them that you're gonna gain from.
And as you and I were talking earlier, you know, I mean, it's not just businesses that are being passed on, but, you know, the other examples that we chatted about earlier, you know, the person with the, in the 70s, all my friends' parents seemed to have cottages up in Muskoka, and everybody would go up there up north and spend time. And that was before, you know, the cottage in Muskoka was $6 or $7 million. I have had an awful lot of friends, and I was trying to come up with, I think I came up with at least three easily, whose parents thought they were doing them a favor by passing them on the cottage up north. When the paperwork came in, it was impossible for them to afford it, because the taxes were just so through the roof. They had no option but to, you know, sell the property, pay off the government, and with what's left, there was no chance that they could have bought another cottage.
Yeah, and you know, a long time ago, I don't know if you remember this, Ian, but we all had $500,000 lifetime capital gains, and many people never elected it, so of course, the government got rid of it, right? So now everything you have is taxable. Mm. And those are some of the things that have changed along the last, say, 40 years. And a lot more changes are coming down the road. So I think you need to sit down now and plan for those things. One simple little thing that we can all do is, you know, if we have TFSAs, is we should all look to see what type of beneficiary have we given to that. Did we did we give them just a beneficiary, or do we call the beneficiary a successor annuitant? So little words that are confusing to you, you should have a look and see, because it makes a huge difference when one of the spouse passes away, that the taxes on the TFSAs are not, you're not paying the tax.
And that successor annuitant, it's such a simple word, and yet it can, if one of the spouses passes away, it can cause such a huge difference in what happens from that point forward in the family.
Yeah, and there's one of the things about the TFSAs that we don't understand. You know, we don't understand how it works. So it's very important, I think, that we do it. I would have noticed in the last probably 5 years is more and more people are putting money into TFSAs. So it's really important that you understand how it works. And more importantly, if you were to pass away, what's the tax implication on it if you don't do it properly?
It's also a perfect example of people who think that they're doing it right by themselves. And they believe that they've read the manuals or they've read the stuff online and they're proceeding. You know, and I mean, we talk about this almost every show we do, that leaky tap that you don't realize is costing you thousands of dollars. This is a great example of that, where, you know, you believe you're doing the right thing. You think everything is, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And then, unfortunately, you pass away and the government comes in and says, no, not at all. This is how it works. And all that work was really for naught.
You know, doing your money planning or retirement planning or whatever you want to call it, you can't go it alone anymore. It used to be you could probably do it on your own if you kind of read some books or whatever, but in today's world, you can't. You it's impossible. You really need to sit down, you know, and draw up a plan for yourself. And in that plan, it creates when I'm living and more importantly when I die.
And that plan is something that, you know, you can easily sit down with somebody and start putting together. It's not, again, we go back to another thing I like to say, and that is they don't need to know the answers to all the questions. They don't even need to know the questions. They just need to pick up the phone and give you a call and start the process.
And like I say, my job, you know, I don't sell anything, right? I don't have any companies that I sell, but my job is to give you experiences of other people that went through these things, that, you know, and what did they experience that was good and bad, and maybe fix all the bad things. So, you know, like probate. You know, if you have money outside an RSP, outside a TFSA that's sitting in a GIC or whatever, don't hold it there. Put it with an insurance company. Because what happens is when you pass away, it skips over the estate tax and it goes directly to a beneficiary. So it's beneficiary directly to your kids or grandkids or someone, and you skip the probate.
I need to jump in. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's just cover off one more time RRSPs and TFSAs and all the terms that are used when it comes to, you know, your financial world, but more importantly, the implications they can have on the topic of our show this week, death and taxes. I'm Ian Grant, and this is Ask the Expert. I'm joined this hour by financial advisor Kelvin Rampersad. You want to give Kelvin a call? You can. His number is 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN. AskKelvin.ca is his website. I am Ian Grant, and this is Ask the Expert on News Talk 1010 Toronto. And we are back. This is Ask the Expert here at News Talk 1010 Toronto. I'm speaking with financial advisor Kelvin Rampersad this hour. Kelvin, we're talking about death and taxes. Just a fascinating show. And unfortunately, it's one of those areas where it's conversations that people should desperately have with their family and people, because it involves the word death, don't. And as we've talked about over the past few segments, it can cost so much money doing it wrong.
Oh, I tell you, and there's no turning back, right? So you have to make sure that you get this right. Probate tax is one of those tax where, you know, you pay, it's 1.5% of money that you have over $50,000. In 2020, the government changed the rules to say that your first $50,000 is free, or tax-free, and then anything after that, they'll charge you $15 per thousand. It might not seem like a lot of money, but actually, if you calculate, you know, if you have vacation properties and, you know, cottages and so on, it could add up to be quite a lot. So again, the simple solution, I always look for the most simple solution for people, because I think we complicate our lives too much. is look at what it costs you to buy a joint last to die insurance policy. We don't like to talk about insurance because, again, we associate it with death. But in this context, we should associate it with living because someone is going to get some money somewhere. So if you can insure your capital gains tax, figure out what it is, and buy the equivalent amount to cover the gains, the money can be transferred to your kids or grandkids or whoever you want it to go to on a tax-free basis. But we don't explore those things, you know, because I think we associate insurance with death.
And earlier in the show, we had John Anger from Angus Farm and Nursery in Etobicoke. And that was one of the pieces of advice that you gave him when he was asking the question, you know, how do I make sure that when I pass on, if I pass my company that I've put my entire life into onto my family, that they're going to get the most they can out of it?
You always have to run the numbers. I always say that, you know, anything you do, make sure you run the numbers and see if it's appropriate for you. So one of the things you have to figure out is, how much is this joint last insurance going to cost me? And then and work backwards and say, okay, I got to pay so much money in taxes, but it's going to cost me X amount. And if it makes sense, go ahead and do it. Remember, estate tax is really an administration tax paid to the government, right? It's not, you're just giving them money, but you're not doing anything to try and transfer to you, right? So I think it's going to be a bigger problem as we move on, because like I say, we're getting older. And another big problem I see is people that have tons of money in their RSPs. Because remember, if you have, you know, $800,000 in your RSP, you only have $400,000 because half of it is going to the tax man. And many people don't think so, because many people think that if they turn their RSP into a RIF, there is no tax. Mm. Well, that's where the problem starts, because you have to take a certain amount and pay the tax on. So it's one of those traps that you have to really sit and think about. And again, we don't, right? So I try and encourage everybody to sit down with their advisor and do a little bit of tax planning. The stock markets are going to go up and down and up and down. I can't tell you when it's going to go up, and I can't tell you when it's going to go down. But I can certainly tell you how much taxes you're going to pay when the last spouse dies.
One of the other areas that people fall into, unfortunately, is assuming they know what terms mean. And we keep using the term estate. And if I die, I'm just leaving everything to my estate, which they assume just means family. It's not what it means at all.
No, before it gets to your family, it stops at the CRA. They've got to get their share, as you know, it stops there, and they got to say, well, you know, we'll take so much, and that's the rest goes.
Yeah, and I mean, I had a friend do that. They literally, because the parents were fairly well off, and it was in the multiple high hundreds of thousands of dollars that one little word, that one little estate word, cost. The one thing they could have, probably the only thing they could have done worse than estate, was not doing anything at all about it.
Anything.
And just, you know, assuming that things will take care of themselves. That's not how it works.
No. You know, years ago, I think about 5-6 years ago, I think it was, maybe longer, there's a client of mine whose parents passed away. And they came here, like, I think in the 30s or the 40s, and they bought a couple of places at Shepherd and Allen Road. And of course, everything exploded up there. And, you know, the kids had to sell. It broke their heart because their parents didn't want them to sell the place, but they had to sell it to pay the taxes. Yep. And that really got to thinking, you know, man, people better sit down and figure that out, because maybe your parents don't want you to sell the place because, you know, but you're going to have to if we didn't do it properly.
But back, like I said about John, he has spent his entire life being a horticulturalist, a farmer. He's, you know, that is his thing. He's put his life literally into his business. Imagine how crushing it would be if he turned around and said, you know, this is yours, continue the legacy, only for the government to come in and go, well, you can do that, but we want 65% of everything, and so you can have 45%, and that's not enough for the business to sell it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Another question people ask, you know, Ian, is how much can you inherit without paying taxes in Canada? So because there are no direct inheritance taxes, you know, it's not considered an income according to the CRA. So no matter who you inherit the money from, there's really no taxes. So simple little things that we don't really know, we really don't think about. I think I think most people in their 70s, actually 60s, I guess, as well, spend some more time figuring out what are my tax liability when I die, so you could plan for it now. Mm-hmm. And maybe pay, you know, a little bit of tax. I mean, you can't pay no tax, but pay a little bit of tax as opposed to paying a whole bunch.
Tell you right? what, as we wrap up, let's go over the difference, though, with because it came up earlier. RRSP accounts and, of course, TFSAs. Both everyone is talking about right now, and both can have different implications when you pass away.
Yeah, so you have to look at, one thing you got to look at is who is the beneficiary on your TFSAs. Make sure it's a successor annuitant.
Mm-hmm.
Only a spouse can be a successor annuitant, so a kid or whatever can't be. LIFs, so RIFs and LIFs and, you know, similar income fund accounts have to be converted prior to turning 71. Can have a successor annuitant. It sounds confusing, and it is. So sit down with your advisor and simplify it, or call me. I think people have to watch out for the, like I call it, the ticking income tax bomb.
Hmm.
And it's ticking away, because many people have farm properties, rental, mutual funds, and other real estate. And when you go, the gains have to be taxed. So the only way to handle the taxes and those things in a simple way is a permanent life insurance. And really sit down and get a quote from your advisor about how much it costs and work backwards, so you don't have those liabilities. So you can retire happy and don't worry about, you know, I worked all my life and I don't want the money to go to the government.
Right.
And so on, you know. And, you know, even if you don't want the money to go to your kids, right, well, do it so you donate it to a charity. So again, you save a lot of taxes, right? I think the bottom line for what I see from how, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years, and what I'm beginning to notice now is tax planning is coming to be more, is trumping the money going up and down, because we understand the markets will go up and down, mm-hmm. up and down, but over time we're going to make money. The question is, how much time am I going to spend trying to keep that money for me and to give it to my kids,
yep.
or grandkids?
We are out of time, sir. It has been a fascinating hour, though. I guess the one takeaway from this hour really is, don't assume that you know more than you do about death and taxes, because
right.
of all the areas that we've covered, it is probably one of the most important to pick up the phone and give your financial advisor a call and at least have that discussion. If you don't have one, pick up the phone. As we said before, Calvin, very open to just answering questions. You got questions, you're wondering about something, pick up the phone and give him a call. As always, thank you so much. A really great hour. I really appreciate it, Calvin.
Great. Thank you, Ian.
This has been Ask the Expert here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. Joined this hour by financial advisor Kelvin Rampersad, talking about death and taxes. Also, special thanks to John Anga from Anga's Farm and Nursery. He joined us from his 5-acre chunk of heaven in Etobicoke to talk about generational wealth. If you have questions, give Kelvin a call. 416-457-7526. That's 416-457-PLAN, or you can always get him at his website, askkelvin.ca. I'm Ian Grant, and this has been Ask the Expert on News Talk 1010 Toronto.